Anthony, we might have a problem. You're not even going to say what? It works better on the radio when you respond to me audibly instead of just staring at me.
What happened, Craig?
So what has happened far too often in the history of our show during Never Read the Comments?
We get dumb comments?
No, I mean, that is technically correct, although not the answer we are looking for. What specifically happens to me often during this segment?
You forget to pull comments.
No. I actually feel like I'm pretty good about that. I've got the comments ready. Hint.
Oh, you have no water.
I wind up like choking. For some reason, this is the point in the week where my voice runs out and then I have no water. And because I was pulling comments, I didn't refill my water. So we're emptying Never Read the Comments with an empty water bottle.
Would you like me to assist you?
No, I mean, I feel like it's safer if you are here doing, I mean, I don't know, what's better? You running and filling up my water bottle or you being here to bail me out in case the voice goes boom?
I mean, it'll only take me about 2 minutes.
If it takes you that long, like you don't need to, this is a big water bottle. You don't need to fill it up all the way.
Yeah.
All right. I guess you should hit the button, bring the bed down, and then hopefully I can get through the first like 2 minutes on my own.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yes!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, here we go. We will dive in as Anthony makes his way over here to get my water bottle just in case my voice decides to die during this segment. And that'll be that. So, we do a radio show every single day. You're listening to it right now. You're watching it right now. It starts at 4 o'clock. It ends at 7. And this time of year, it, actually genuinely ends. Thank you, Anthony. There's my water bottle. It genuinely ends at 7 o'clock, during basketball season. It ends at random times because we have games on. But we take the show, we chop it up into the segments, we post them on the internet and you all react to them. And then we read those comments and that is this segment. It's called Never Read the Comments because we believe in irony. Okay, we had plenty of funny ones this week. I'm gonna dive into some of the content, though, here. And one of the big things that we obviously discussed this week was the Tush Push and the debate around it. Ultimately, we know by now, here on Thursday, that the Tush Push had survived, at the very least, another year, if not into the future, where they are going to keep it in. It's a football play that's allowed in the NFL, despite the fact that the league and 22 teams wanted it gone. 24 was the votes needed. And a lot of it goes around this central idea that, like, is this a football play? And J.W. Carroll, 6378, says, for those who say it's not a football play, I wonder if they can define what is a football play. So this, to me, is actually at the crux of it, because until someone gets hurt, which could happen for sure, there is no data currently to support that there's an elevated injury risk. And not only has there not been any injuries, but I do wonder if there's ever been any kind of extra data where, like, oh, the pounds of pressure is different than a normal pile, or we think this particular thing is a risk. There's literally nothing on the injury side of it that suggests that there is some kind of elevated risk. So if that's the case, and you're actually making this argument that it's a football play, one, wow, that was fast, Anthony. And the water bottle is completely full. Thank you, sir. You're look, Anthony Haney, everybody, here on my side of the screen. You go back to your box now. You go over there. Thank you. Okay, so I get parched. What a mensch. The point is, if you're going to call it a rugby play, you're wrong, because it's not a rugby play. I love how Anthony sits down. The first thing he does is have a sip of water. It's not a rugby play. You've never watched rugby. You've never played rugby. You never asked rugby people. So that's thing one. Thing two, to me, the reason it's quote unquote not a football play, if you're going to make that argument, is in football, you don't push the guy with the ball. You block for the guy with the ball. And then he is trying to get into open space and run away from the other guys trying to tackle him or take his flag if you're doing flag football. You are not ever pushing the guy with the ball as strategy outside of this one thing. And so if you wanted to say, in the spirit of the game, this is not a football play because we don't push ball carriers and outlaw it, that's fine. I'm down with that. You also then need to outlaw doing it in the middle of the field. And that becomes its own thing because the defense, you know, they wall up and try to push and you got the whole thing. So I think part of the reason this doesn't pass is because that's not made clear. Like, how is it not a football play? And because there's not a good answer to that, I think that's a big reason, Anthony, why it ultimately stayed.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, the only real, because it doesn't pose like health concerns either. Like, they've done, you know, studies on that as well. Like, no one is getting like injured on these plays. I think one thing to point out, though, it is tough to officiate because if you recall, you know, when the Commanders played the Eagles, Juergens was sort of kind of offsides. Deron Payne's hand was underneath the ball.
Sure.
Like,
so technically, how much harder is it than any other play? Like the offsides, the spotting of the ball. We saw that in the AFC Championship game where I feel like they got it wrong. Like, is it that much harder by anything, like especially compared to a regular quarterback sneak, right? Because you're not going to outlaw quarterback sneaks. So what is it about the tush push that makes it different than a quarterback sneak that you could outlaw? It's just the pushing from behind. Because if you know quarterback sneak is, let's say they outlawed it, right? First, fourth, and one of the season, Eagles line up in still a big old Haas package, and it's quarterback sneak. Deron Payne, or whoever they're playing week one, that defensive tackle is going to be right there. So at that point, what that difficulty in legislating it, the difficulty of everything, it doesn't change. And that, to me, is part of the reason why it stays, is you're just picking on the push. And if you can't find a good reason why the push makes it worse or more unsafe or not football, then you don't really have an argument.
I think one last thing that's funny about the tush push.
Is it called the tush push?
It's been legal since 2005. Like, people could have been doing this. Like, and it's just the fact that, you know, the Eagles in 2022 decided to, you know, put into a their offense, like,
yep,
now we want to complain about it, like
100%. And you know, you have some people like Farbod 21 says pushing and pulling the ball carrier should be banned anywhere. It was stupid to change the rule and allow it, but again, it went 17 years before anybody did anything about it. I'd pick this one, I'm not gonna lie, Anthony, because I think the screen name is hilarious. Your ex grandpappy says extremely annoying.
That's actually funny.
Your ex grandpappy, But then you have C guy, 2 guy, 5'11". I just read them. It's a copycat league. Everybody's doing it or going to start doing it, even if they don't have a quarterback that can do it. Get your tight end or somebody else to do it. Get a big fat guy behind him to push. And that's the thing, is other teams could have been doing this too. And in that way, it's not unfair that the Eagles do this and nobody else does. Everybody else could do it, except for they don't. They don't because it's a personnel and coaching driven success. Personnel of their O-line is great, and Jalen Hurts is a monster. His leg drive is better than every other quarterback because if there was a quarterback squat competition, he'd win it. Josh Allen might come in second, which is why the Bills are really good at it, but other teams don't want to do it. And there have been other teams, like the Chiefs, I believe, have done a version where Kelsey goes under center or Noah Gray goes under center. The Commanders a couple years ago when Logan Thomas was here, he did it. And in fact, I think didn't the Commanders try it this past year? They either motioned Mariota in or they did something.
It was Mariota.
Yeah, and they fumbled the snap or whatever. And
yep.
It didn't work. So like other teams have tried it, but the Eagles, it's hard to practice. You're not doing full contact tush pushes, but like there are technique type of things and timing and whatever that they practice and they dedicate the resources and the time. And by resources, I mean the time to meeting time, practice time, and other teams can make those same decisions. They don't. And so they don't get the results. And also when Jalen Hurts is not there, I guarantee you it's not going to work as well.
Yeah. Didn't Kenny Pickett run it? I think they ran it against us.
Did it work?
I think it did, but it okay. Wasn't the same kind of push.
Yeah. Like, would it work the same percent if it was Kenny Pickett all the time?
No chance.
And that's the thing. Is like, it's If LeBron James was an NFL wide receiver and the fade became a 92% proposition, you think they'd outlaw fades?
No.
That's kind of what's happened.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we got a unicorn player doing unicorn stuff in Jalen Hurts. And credit to the Eagles. That hurts to say, but credit to the Eagles. Next topic in Never Read the Comments. We did our reaction to some of the ESPN rankings. And the one that got the most attention, Anthony, wasn't the one that we talked about. It was one that we mentioned in passing. Escaped 1534 says, I don't see a big drop off in Jaden Daniels because his offensive line will be better, which means a more stable pocket and a better running game. Plus, they've added maybe three Samuels, Lane, Merritt, more weapons. The running game must improve. I can't see the defense being 31st in the league! Exclamation point, question mark. And the defense part is the one that got a lot of attention, so we're going to come back to that in a second. I will say one mistake that I think Commanders fans are making is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt and Jalen Lane. Like, oh, they're such huge additions. No, they're new. Don't confuse new with shiny, and don't confuse shiny with effective. They're rookies. Is there a chance that they play well? Absolutely. The way Bill runs, that kid is, his highlight reel is fun. But he's a rookie. He was taken in the seventh round. So we really think he's going to come in and be amazing? Would love for this little 10 seconds that I just did to be on Cold Takes Exposed in September, October, November, and December. Would love for him to be a 1,200-yard back as a rookie or something crazy. I'd love him to be a 600-yard back as a rookie. Who they figured out midway through the year was like, oh, this guy's better than what we have. Amazing. Love that. Jalen Lane, same thing. What if he's just better than Deebo Samuel? Sick. Deebo's on a one-year deal and moderately expensive. Jalen Lane is a rookie and is going to be cheap for the next 4 years. Awesome. Here for it. Sign me up. Would love Deebo to be, I'd love them both to be great, obviously. But I am not going to get out over my skis and count on production from a fourth and a seventh round rookie, because that is how you set yourself up to be disappointed. And there is no reason to do that when there is so much other or so many other genuine things to be excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I like what we've done in the draft.
Same. So. That's not meant to say they're going to be bad. It's just let's be realistic about what we expect from rookies.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, people want, I trust what Adam Peters and company have done. And I think it's just more so fans just got to be patient and, you know, just be willing to, you know, trust the process kind of thing.
Yeah. Which brings us to the defense. BRSYSYRI. Bryce Isserian, I think is what that's. Or is it Bryce? No. This guy, 4516, says, 31st defense has to be one of the worst takes ever. We're not great, but we are between average and good at worst. Cole Callaway, 6'9", 58. Projected 31st ranked defense is laughable. On paper, our defense has massively improved in pass defense with our upgraded corner room, and our run defense has also improved with a beefier D-line in depth. Pass rush is our only setback, in my opinion. So this is in reaction to Mike Clay's rankings from ESPN.com. They do them every year, fantasy rankings. And I agree that feels wrong. 31st. I just want to put that out there before I say what I'm about to say, which is, why would someone as smart as Mike Clay say that? Right? It's a projection. It's also very fantasy skewed. So if I start to think about it, I'm like, okay, why would they come out there in the projection? And is that a cause for concern? If I'm going to put my journalism hat on and try to see all angles, not have anything surprise me, why would the Commanders defense all of a sudden, we're in December and we're like, yo, this is bad? And there's a couple things that come to mind. I think first and foremost, Anthony, is the schedule. Think of the quarterbacks they have to play this year. like, that's they have, okay, week one, probably Russell Wilson. Whatever. Week two, Jordan Love. Week three, Geno Smith. Week four, Michael Penix. We'll see how he is by week four. Week five, Justin Herbert. Week six, Caleb Williams. Wild card. But that's a Ben Johnson offense. Week seven, Dak. Week eight, Mahomes. Week nine, Darnold. Week 10, Goff and the Lions. Week 11, Tua and the Dolphins. Week 12, bye. 13 is Bo Nix and a Broncos offense. That's Sean Payton, and now he's in year two. Week 14, we'll see what J.J. McCarthy is, but it's the Vikings offense. Giants again in 15, and then Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles. So you're either facing really explosive playmakers and really good coaches. That's the Giants. They've got Malik Nabers, and Brian Daboll's a good offensive coach. One of the best 13 quarterbacks in the league or so. Wherever you have a Love, Penix, I guess Penix is kind of the exception, but even their pass catching unit and, you know, their running back in Bijan is sick. Like the Chargers, you got Herbert. The Bears, we'll see what they are with Ben Johnson. Like every single week, you're like, I could see why that's a good offense. Right? Even the Giants, Malik Nabers with Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson, like that's potential potency. I don't think they're going to be good week over week, but you catch them on the wrong week and like that's dangerous. I don't want to deal with that. So I could see if I'm playing devil's advocate, I can see a world where this defense is bad. Because the other part of it is like, okay, well, let's look at the Commander side of the equation. Is Marshawn Lattimore just going to turn it around? Upgraded corner room. Oh, really? Like, who honestly played worse last year? And this is going to get me killed in the comments. Who was really worse, Benjamin St. Juice or Marshawn Lattimore?
Benjamin St. Juice.
You think he was worse than Lattimore?
Lattimore had bad games against A.J. Brown. Like,
yeah, bad Brown games against A.J. Brown. Problems. He had bad games against Mike. He only played like five games, and three of them were really bad.
I mean, the Saints, like, he shut his side of the field down. He played the Saints, the Lions.
He was facing Jake Haener.
I'm just saying, like, still he didn't get any targets. And then also when we played the Lions, he didn't give up much either. So,
sure. And like,
it's a small sample size, but
Juice had a couple good games in there.
I can't get over Juice letting Mike Williams slow ass run right by. I can't get over
that. I am not telling you that Juice was good. I'm telling you the higher percentage of plays last year played in a Commander's uniform. I would bet that if I did play for play, green dot, red dot, Juice had more good plays. Because, I mean, Juice had just these catastrophic mistakes. But, like, the games against the Eagles, man, were like every play it felt like Lattimore was giving up penalties, holding, doing stuff. And, like, I don't know. It wasn't good. And
I mean, AJ had his turn with Benjamin St. Juice 2 years ago and Emmanuel Forbes, so we knew not to go that route.
To be very clear, I think Marshawn Lattimore is a better player than Benjamin St. Juice, and I would bet on him for this year. And Lattimore was banged up. He came way mid through the year. But, like, the point is, like, the upgrade wasn't – you're counting on a guy who was – it. Let's say Lattimore was better. Like, you agree, though, it's, like, way closer than it should be.
Yeah.
So let's say Lattimore was better than Juice last year because he – I can make that argument too.
You're right.
Right? And maybe I should have made that argument because now the comment people are already screaming at me. But like it was way closer than it should have been. And if that's the case, they didn't really upgrade their corner room in the way they need to unless Trey Amos is awesome. Well, Trey Amos is a rookie. So like, is he going to come in and be awesome from day one?
Yeah, he got to prove it.
And Sanders Stills now going to the slot. Like, I liked Mikey last year. One, I don't think it was quite as good as some fans thought because he was, like, the expectations versus performance, he was great. But if you're just doing raw performance, there was a lot of room to improve for Mike Sanders still. And he now is going to shift inside, and that, in some ways, is a harder position than playing outside and some of the stuff you deal with in the nickel. We'll see what the, you know, I like Will Harris. Is he as good as Jeremy Chinn? Probably not. How big is that drop-off? And then, you know, God forbid, Wagner finally falls off the age cliff. Again, knock on all. Like, there's a way. I think ultimately this defense is going to be better than last year. because I think they have made major upgrades in the run game up front, first and second down defense. And that has a trickle-down effect where everything else becomes easier. You get in more third and longs. You're not in third and shorts. You don't get in second and short, which is where a lot of teams take explosive shots, because if you're in second and 10 or second and 8, you're just trying to get to third and short. And so there is a ton of pass rush opportunities that comes from that. There's just a system-wide upgrade that should cause better performance on the defensive side. I firmly believe that is truth. But if you're going to make the devil's advocate argument to say, okay, why would someone who puts in as much work as Mike Clay come out and say the Commanders are the 31st defense in his projections? I think it's part the secondary could fall apart, and there's other pieces. You don't have a stud pass rusher or whatever. And the schedule and the quarterbacks and the offenses you play are really good. And to think that it's impossible, I think, is a level of arrogance I'm not comfortable with yet. So, again, do I think it's going to happen? No. But that would be the reason why, if you don't want to have burgundy and gold colored glasses on.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be that bad.
I don't think so either. Again, I agree with most of the comments where they're like, I don't think we're going to be great, but we're not going to be bad. All right, last but not least, we talked about the latest Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese incident. Chanel Jones, 1091, says, let them have a rivalry. It's great for the game. This is as close to Magic versus Bird that we have in the WNBA. I never said you couldn't have a rivalry. What I did say is you don't need idiocy to have a rivalry. It wasn't the play or the intensity that, or people getting excited about the matchup even. It's when there's a perfectly normal flagrant foul that happens in the course of many basketball games, it doesn't need to be blown up into a national security issue on sports talk television. And that's what happened. And that's the part that I hate. And we don't need any of that. And by the way, Angel Reese has got to become a better basketball player if they're going to have a real rivalry here, because while Angel is like an all-star, if you're going to have Magic versus Bird, they were the two best players in the game. If you want that, you're looking more at Asia Wilson versus Caitlin Clark, the way Asia is right now and the ascension that Caitlin's on, because those, you know, if Caitlin can get past Nafisa Collier and Breanna Stewart, then now we're talking about the two best players in the game. But Angel's not on that level yet, which is fine. She was a rookie last year, and she was the seventh pick. And there's a lot of seventh picks from the last 5 years that aren't even in the league anymore, because that's how hard that league is. And then last but not least, Anthony, Randy Silva-J8M says, there's too many idiots and not enough villages, dude.
I'm crying.
Because I talked about how it seems like anytime these two play, a couple of villages seem to be missing their idiot. Too many villages, or too many idiots, not enough villages. So we just got village-less idiots wandering around. And then somehow they walk onto the first take set.
Well, that too.
All right, when we get back, top story of the day in D.C., I guess, is Terry McLaurin missed a practice. Is this a big deal? I think by my tone of voice, you could probably tell where my answer is, but we'll talk about it next on The Hoffman Show.